5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Justin James.
Well, hello and happy Father's Day week. And I tell you, I had a great weekend. I hope you did. I just love Father's Day. You know why? Because I get to go eat steak and shrimp and all that fun stuff. And man, it is awesome. Well, welcome to the Justin James Show. I am Justin James, your host. And thank you again for listening to this podcast and trying to, I tell you, it has been a fun experience, and as we continue to do this, I try to do this every week for you. Man, it's just so much fun. Anyway, welcome. If you'd like to be a part of the program, of course, the email address is justinjamesshow@gmail.com. That's justinjamesshow@gmail.com. And, of course, you're welcome to any questions, any comments, or whatever you have something you want. Hey, I heard this. And anyway, I'm here for you. That's how you get to be a part of the program, because I pre-record this. I don't have a chance to do this live, so it's hard for me to do phone calls. But, you know, anyway. So, today I want to get into, hold on. I got a text message. Okay, sorry about that. All right. I'm supposed to meet a friend up right after this. And so, anyway, he just texted me, let me know he's going to be running a little bit, which is fine because, you know, anyway. All right. So the SBC convention has been done. It is finished, the 2019, and there's a lot of stuff going on, and there's some things here that I want to deal with, first of all. Now, I call this the good, the bad, the ugly. I guess only because we know the song, the good, the bad, the ugly. Anyway, all right. So the good thing is that they are going to try to do something with the sexual abuse things, which is good. We knew that they were going to do that because they have to do it. And that's a good thing. I love what they're doing here. I love what there's some of the aspects of what they're doing. Some of the things they're doing, I do not like, and I'm going to be able to make the voice of my opinion on that. So anyway, I'm looking at an article right here, and from the Baptist Press News, and right here it's the message here from Russell Moore, Birmingham, Alabama, BP, the Ethics Religious Commission. Liberty Commission has been and will be helping Southern Baptists address sexual abuse crisis in the churches. Russell Moore said during the entire report Wednesday, June the 12th, at the convention at the annual meeting. Moore, the ERLC president, told messengers the entirety has been a privilege to work with the SBC president, J.D. Greer, in the sexual abuse study he has formed last summer to assist churches in the effort to prevent abuse and care for survivors. The study issued a report that recommendations on June the 8th that has been working with the ERLC to produce free curriculum published by Lifeway Resources, a year-long investigation into equip churches in the sexual abuse. Okay, that's good. I have no problem with that. They're doing some type of investigation. They're doing this thing, and they're printing out free resources with Lifeway, which is great. Okay, no argue with that. That's good. Keep going, all right? We must addressing this crisis now is vital, Moore said. Southern Baptists, we must reach our age of accountability, and the vital question before us today is, what will we do next? The stakes are too high, Moore said. The implication of evaluation people, of vulnerable people, in our moral witness is too great. Okay? The stakes are too high, and they are. They are. I'm not disagreeing with him on that. Brothers and sisters, we must speak with the unflinching clarity to watching world and say those who use religious to prey on looking to hear a word from Jesus are more than just criminals. Although they are certainly that, they who commit spiritual rape in the most insidious and violent kind. And we, the people of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, will not stand for one minute. Amen. I don't have it. This is good. In fact, one of the big things that we do on this program, as you know, we call out people who do things that are not in the scope of the gospel. We deal with ethical issues. This is what he does. I don't always agree with Dr. Moore, but I do agree with him on this. We need to help churches in the time addressing sexual abuse caused the ERIC to scrap plans for the 2019 National Conference. Moore said, instead of focusing on the gospel courage as originally intended, the ERIC announced in late April that it will revive the program to address the sexual abuse crisis. The conference will be titled now, Caring Well, Equipping the Church to Confront the Abuse Crisis. It will be October the 3rd through the 5th at the Gaylord in Texas in Grapevine, Texas. Okay. I'm in Dallas or Plano, but it's not that far. So, okay. For me, I'm always in Grapevine, but I probably won't be because in October I will probably be in class. Okay. So that I really don't have any really issues with that. And that's a good thing. That is a good thing. Of course, he goes in. Now, here's the things where it gets a little bit kind of rusty here. The ERLC also focused on its effect of last year, the issues of sanctity of life, which you know if you listen to this program, I'm a huge pro-lifer, and human dignity, race, unity, and religious liberty, and all official, intentional, and cultural differences. Okay, great. If you're an ethicist and you love Christian ethics, those things will grab your attention, and you'll be like, oh, let's talk about it. Okay, it would be like me going to a sushi restaurant and be like, give me every roll you have. Okay, anyway. So, again, that's fine. And the racial unity. Now, here's the thing, though. The racial unity part. Now, I did circle this because every convention, Moore comes out, and this is where I disagree with Moore. Moore comes out, he always wants to do something with racial. He's like, okay, racial this. Okay. Here's the thing, though. There's a lot of people out there that work their day-to-day job, and they go to church, they do different things, and they're saying, well, okay, why don't we, they don't look at it as a racial thing. They're not dealing with racial aspects of that. Maybe, especially today's society, I don't necessarily see it. Now, and the fact that we continue to hit it on every year we have to address racial thing. I talk to a lot of Southern Baptists. I talked to a lot of Southern Baptists. I talked to a lot of Christians. I don't see the racial thing. Now, before you get say, oh, well, Justin, you're not. I am. We're all part of a race. Okay. Now, religious liberty, bingo. I'm always talking about that. Artificial intelligence, oh, that'll be a fun one. We need to do a podcast on that. But anyway. But still, the idea on that, of course, he goes on, he talks a little bit more about some of the things. I love what he's doing with the Psalms 139 project. They're putting ultrasound machine, which is good. Again, this is good stuff. Don't have a really issue with that. Okay, I know someone's going to say, okay, well, what about the most segregated hour in the United States, which we're talking on Sunday morning? Okay. I go to a church because I don't pick a church because based off of color. I don't do that. And you shouldn't do that. And there's people that do that on all sides of the spectrum. And so if he's going to want to deal with that, then let's deal with that. But I don't think he's dealing with that in that manner. I don't know. Because a lot of my good friends, are not like, we're, again, I don't look at color, so I don't know. Anyway, I look at the moral character of a person. I look how that person is how they're walking their life. And again, if they have problems with their life, I'm there to, and I'm going to pick them up and I want to help them and I want to walk with them. I don't care about skin color. I don't care about where you come from or what country you're from. That's not me. And that shouldn't be you either. We should all love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And who's our neighbor? Everyone. People from China, people from Africa, people from the Middle East. Everyone. People from Canada. I know. I those Canadians, man. Anyway, they're hard to love. I know. But hey, I'm joking. I'm gonna get an email on that. I know I am. Okay. Now here's the thing though that I want to get into, because this is the thing that I really is not a good thing. This is kind of the bad right here. And part of this whole thing is that what they're doing is they're building a coalition, they're building a committee. If you read the report that they published, they're building a committee to deal with these. So technically what they're going to be doing with this committee, and this is how I'm looking at it, this is how I am, I'm looking at it, they're going to build a committee with judge, jury, and execution. And this is an issue. Because, first of all, the SBC should not be involved with anything in that manner whatsoever. Okay, they don't need to be a part of that. They don't need to do anything more than what they're doing. Educate, equip, prayer, minister, counsel, get that. But they're doing something a little bit different, and it's not a good thing. It's something that we must be very, very, very careful with, because when you start bringing in the rhetoric that they're bringing in, this can get really ugly really fast. At least just what I'm seeing now. Again, you know, I'm just a simple podcast host. What do I know? So they're building a committee, and in this committee, they want to do a... In the committee, they're going to be doing this thing where they're going to be, when there's an event happening at a church, something that's going on, this committee has the right to swoop in and literally do a full investigation of these abuse cases. Okay, there's some accountability in that. Great. But here's the thing, though. Where's the accountability for the committee? Every time something, a major tragically event happens, the first thing we want to do is we want to give up more freedoms to try to prevent that from happening. Let's give you an example. When there's a mass shooting. Now, first of all, my heart breaks every time I literally see something horrible going on, especially like a mass shooting or something like that. My heart breaks. Because innocent life is being taken, and it's a dangerous world out there, but we have to put our trust and lean on the Lord. Yet, the first thing we do is we say, okay, yeah, we want to give up our guns. Every gun should be confiscated. We should give up our guns to the government, and the government should have all of our guns, and we should no longer have the right to bear arms, which is a constitutional amendment which gives us the right to bear arms. And you know, and I like to shoot, I like guns. You know, I'm not a hillbilly, but you know, I am a country boy. At least I have some country boy in me, and I love to hunt and I love to shoot, and I'm pretty gone good at it. But so again, when you see something like this, and so you have to be careful, because we need to make sure that we are doing what needs to be done. We need to make sure that our freedoms are not being taken because of some events. Let the local authorities, when these are cases, the local authorities should be able to deal with this, and they need to deal with this, and it's important that we must deal with this. And, you know, again, if we get into this whole thing here, you know, it gets interesting, because now we're taking away what we call the autonomy of the church, and that's exactly what they're doing here. And that's exactly what Greer is going to be saying. In fact, it says it right here. Greer encouraged churches, J.D. Greer, the president of the SBC, encouraged churches not to hide behind autonomy, which has never included accountability. Okay. I think what he's saying is he's saying, do not hide behind your autonomy. They're not hiding, Greer, behind their autonomy. They're only exercising the right that they have as Southern Baptist. Now, again, if a church is doing something completely wrong and all that, the local authorities need to come in and they need to do what they need to do, and they need to remove the people that need to be done. And if they're not following with the Baptist faith and message, which is our document of how we look at doctrine, and they're not following the different things, and we have this thing called the Family Amendment. So if we're not following the Family Amendment, if they're not following that thing, then yeah, you can excommunicate them. Boom. Bada boom, bada bang, right? Okay. But you don't accuse churches behind their autonomy. That's an ugly thing to do. Because you can't say that. You can't say that churches are hiding behind their autonomy. They're not hiding behind anything, because they are exercising their free will to be autonomy within the Southern Baptist Convention, which actually is a Southern Baptist doctrine. It's a freedom that we have within the SBC. So how could they be hiding behind it? That, my friends, is where you get in really ugly language, because the autonomy of the church is a beautiful thing. Let the churches be govern themselves. Let the churches deal with the internal matters. The SBC doesn't need to come in and play judge, jury, and executioner. But he's literally said right here, he's encouraged churches not to hide behind autonomy. I want you to think about that for a second. If you're a Southern Baptist pastor and you're listening to this program, which we do have some pastors, and you're part of the SBC, and you literally, and you, one of the big things that we're proud about the SBC, and this is a thing that we're proud about, is the fact that we're autonomy, that we have churches that are autonomy. The churches govern themselves. We, through the government of themselves, we hold the faith that we hold the fact that we are part of a convention because we believe on these truth documents called the Baptist Faith and Message. We've updated it multiple times. We have the 63, we have the 2000. We're holding to the 2000. It'll probably be updated in the next few in another 20 or 30 years. But that's what we do. That's what we believe in. So if he's turning around, he's saying, oh, no, churches can't hide behind autonomy anymore. What he's doing is he's saying, no, you cannot be hiding about your own right. Now, before you get to the point where you're saying, oh, Justin, you're twisting gears, word, listen to what he's saying. Churches, we encourage churches not to hide behind their autonomy. Because if they're hiding behind their autonomy, they will never have accountability. Okay, accountability to who? Accountability to who? You? The SBC? How about accountability to God? How about let God deal with it? How about the accountability of the local government, who we pay taxes and things to be able to put that in there? You see, this is where it gets really ugly. This is where things get really sticky, because you're attacking the autonomy of the church. Now, there is some people that say, oh, I don't care about the autonomy of the church. Let's just vote. I want to look righteous in front of people. I want to do what was the right thing. And they're doing the right thing. Everything that Moore opposed, everything that is going on is completely fine. I have no problem with that. But here we are, he's saying, you cannot hide behind your autonomy, which again is a fundamental right within the Southern Baptist Convention. It's a scary thing. Why? Why would he say something like that? If you don't believe in autonomy of the church, then what's the opposite of that? We go into an anarchy program, or to a system where we have bishops, where we have people who are in charge of groups of churches? Yeah, how did that work out for the other denominations? Didn't work out very well, does it? I'm blown away by that. I really am. I'm But he did say something in this particular one. He did say, but success will only come by God's hand. And he's right. That is right. God is the only one who can do this. God is the only one who can do this. It comes down to it saying, listen, let me cast a quick story here, and I'm going to take a quick break. If a church, this is hypothetical. If a church, let's call it the Baptist Church. The Baptist Church and make-believe wherever, okay? Make believe, wherever, okay? This is a hypothetical situation, so hypothetical. Because I want to give you an idea of what's coming. I'm going to kind of draw this out for you. If something goes on in the church, the leadership finds out about it. Leadership being the elder board, the deacon board, or however the church is, the congregational led, however it's led, okay? Let's just say it's just basic congregational led, okay? The leaders found out about it. The leaders contact the local authority. The police officer comes in, or the detective comes in. He does a full-blown investigation of this, of what's going on, because we pay him to do that. He's been trained to do that, okay? He comes in, he makes a call, he goes, no. There's nothing going on here, okay? However, what they want to do is they want that church to report back to the SBC, hey, listen, we had this accusation, okay? Which, in itself, I guess could be good or bad, but still, you have to be able to look at it in that way. But then you turn around, and the SBC, no. We have to bring our own people in, and we're going to have to do our own investigation. Like, okay. And they come in, and they find something completely different than what they're doing. Who is seeing that? Who's going to supervise this committee? One of the big issues that was going on in the early 1980s, in the 90s, in that area during this huge movement that was going on led by a lot of these individuals, one of the big things they did was they were trying to bring conservatism back to the Southern Baptist, and it got nasty, and I'm talking nasty. But one of the things that they were accused of, these individuals, they were a thing called skybox politics. Literally is the people in the skybox at the convention floor, not on the convention floor, but in the skybox of these places, they literally will pick who and what and everything that's going to be happening on the convention floor, not the people in the convention itself. They were accused of that, and I guarantee you they did it. And they did it because they were trying to save the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, some of it, was it justified? Some people will say yes. But you literally, there's points where you say, we can no longer go that way. And that's exactly what they're doing here. And they're using these tragedies to be able to push that agenda. And it's wrong. But what do I know? Hey, I got to take a quick break. We will be right back. And don't go, hey, you know, there's something, you don't want to miss this next segment. I got something really neat on here.
My ode to Justin James Show.
Uh-oh. Summertime means great deals, and this is the deal for you, and this only ends in August, so listen up. I just got off the phone with my friend with Encore Home Theater, that's Joe, the owner. He said he's going to give my listeners a special summer deal on anything you need, home theater-wise, this summer, only this summer, between now and August. Let me tell you right now, you need to call him up. Do not hesitate. Do not hesitate whatsoever. The number is 469-877-3643. Again, that's 469-877-6343. Encore Home Theater. He's going to give you the most incredible price. And with 35 years experience, any question, anything you need, he is going to hook you up. Listen to me, listeners. I know Joe. He's a great guy. He loves the Lord, and he is ethical in what he does. It's 469-877-3643, Encore Home Theater. Don't you miss this deal.
If you need that aerial photo, there is no one else to call but O'Madden Aerial Photography. They are able to take stunning photos or videos of your place of business, home, worship, or just about anything you can think of. They are highly professional, and they use state-of-the-art drone technology. Realtors love aerial photography because they are able to show the entire house to their clients. And churches love to be able to see their whole building that the Lord has provided. Whatever your reason, now is the time to call 972-834-4890. That is 972-834-4890. Or check them out at omadinaerialphotography.com. Omadin Aerial Photography, the finest in the air. You're listening to The Justin James Show.
And welcome back. Oh, here we go. Sorry. Hey, okay. So, one of the things that I was actually asked, this is a question from a listener like you, because I do aim check my email at justinjamesshow@gmail.com. That's justinjamesshow@gmail.com. justinjamesshow@gmail.com. I do check my email, and I check it religiously, no pun intended. Because I want to make sure that, you know, this is important to me. You know, what I do is very important. And I want to make sure that, you know, if you have any questions or anything, I'm here for you. And if I don't know the answer, you know, I'll wait. I'll look into it and I'll get back with you. So here's the question. Explain what this idea is this. He said he's having some issues. I'm paraphrasing here. He's saying that he's having issues with some friends because they are looking at grace as a point where, because of grace and because of what Paul said, therefore they don't have to necessarily fall under the law, which is kind of true. But he says, well, what about some of these ideas and somehow the Bible is formed? And yet some people are saying, no, they don't have to follow scripture at all because therefore they're under grace. And he put i.e. like homosexuals. So I started doing some research on this, and I found something very interesting, and I'm going to share it to you because that's really cool. There is a unique word, and it's been around lately, and I'm gonna kind of do some things here. There's a word called antinomianism. And what it's really interesting. Of course, you got anti, which is means against, and nonianism or nonios is law. Okay, it's Greek for anti-law, no law. Adios. Okay, no law. And so I'm going to read this interesting article here. My friend from CARM, which is C-A-R-M, CARM.org, he wrote this for this. And I'm going to pull a little bit more because my friend was going with this. And I want to pull a little bit more, the one who asked the question, and where Matt is going with this. Matt Slick, good friend, awesome guy. Go check out his website. I need to get him on the program. There's some things I'd love to have some fun with. Anyway, he does his own podcast and things like that. So, and I've had him on different, when I was in radio, I had him on a couple times and we dealt with some other issues. Great guy. But anyway, this is what he wrote. And I want to read this and I want to pull this out a little bit through the last time that we have here. The word antinomianism comes from the Greek anti or against and nomos, law. It is the unbiblical practice of living without regarding to the righteousness of God and using God's grace as a license to sin and trusting grace to cleanse of sin. In other words, since grace is we are saved by grace and we can sin all we want and still be saved. It is wrong, even though as Christians we are not under the law, Romans 6:14, we are still fulfilled the law in the law of love, which is in Romans 13:8, 10, Galatians 5:14, and 6:2. We are all to love God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and our labor as ourselves. This is Luke chapter 10, verse 27. And therefore avoid the offenses of sin, which cost God's only begotten Son. Paul speaks against this consuspension of antinomianism in Romans 6:1 through 2, where he says, are we to continue to sin and we in grace abound? May it never be. How should we die and live? How should we die to sin, yet we still live in it? Are we not to use grace of God as a means of sin? Instead, we are to be controlled by the love of God in the way that we bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:22 to 25. All right, that's what he says on it. Interesting article. I'll tag this in the description if you want to read that, okay? But here's, let me unplug this a little bit different. Let me kind of explain this to you, because a little bit. Now, again, one of the things I don't do on the show is, and I have been asked, please do a book series, go through and pull out, you know, do a teaching series. I don't necessarily want to do that because that's where your church is and things like that. I loved it. Maybe I will one day just because, but I try not to get preachy necessarily on the show because I want to deal with current events and I want to deal with just basic morality and ethics and things like that. And I try to do things more of a topical sense. And that's where you go to church for. That's why you go to Sunday school and your discipleship classes and things, or your discipleship mentoring sessions and things like that, that you need to do. And yeah, I will refer to scripture a lot, but I don't necessarily want to get into a book series. Could I do it? Sure. If I get a lot of emails and saying please do it, I will probably do it and go through it and some breakdown scripture and things like that. Okay, so let me take you, because I'm doing a study actually right now in 1 Timothy. I am doing a study in 1 Timothy, and with my group at church, and one of the big things where antinomianism, and Paul speaks of this, is actually through the very first chapter of 1 Timothy, because he's encouraging Timothy. He's saying, hey, Timothy, hey, listen, you know, I love you. You are my son in the Lord. You're my spiritual son. You're my true child, as he says, in faith. But here's something interesting, and he gets in verse 4 of chapter 1. Actually, let's go back to verse 3. I urge you, when I went to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus so that you may command certain people not to teach other doctrines. He's talking about false doctrines. When we talk about false doctrines, immediately, right off the bat, we're dealing with heresy. We're dealing with things because it's contract of what Scripture actually says. And I'm going to get back to this antinomianism because Paul's addressing this actually in the section. This something. Matt, brother, if you're listening, throw in 1 Timothy. It'd kind of be fun to throw that into your article. But anyway, other doctrines, or pay attention to myths or endless genealogies. These promote empty speculations rather than God's plan, which operates by faith. Now the goal of our instrument is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. Verse 6. Some have devised from these and turn aside of the faithfulness or fruitless discussion. They want to be teachers of the law, although they do not understand what they are saying or what they are instructing on. Now, we all know that the law is good. Now, wait, Paul just said the law is good, but yet he said, no, we're no longer under the law. What does he mean by that? In Romans, he said, we don't live by the law. We're not saved by the law. But then here he said the law is still good. Interesting. I'll unpack that for you in a second. We know that the law is good, provided used in a legal and in the right way, mainly. He said, if we know how to use it in the right way. And then he goes in verse 9. We know that the law is not meant for a righteous person, but for the lawless and the rebellious, for the ungodly, the sin, the sinful, the ungodly, the arrogant, for those who killed their fathers and mothers and murderers, and those who sexual immorality and homosexuals, and kidnappers, liars, prejudicers, and for what else is contract in the sound teaching based on the glorious gospel of the blessed God that is entrusted into me. Okay. That's a lot to unpack because I'm trying to, mainly in a nutshell, what's going on here. He's instructing Timothy. He's saying, listen, guys, Timothy, listen, there's going to be people coming in, and what they're going to do is they want to be teachers of the law. And the way they're going to teach the law is they're going to say, do not follow the law. Antinomianism is dealing with a moral law. We are not saved by the law. So, for example, is the Ten Commandments. Okay, the Ten Commandments. Because of my love for God, that, you know, say, oh, if I follow these commandments, therefore I'm good. It sets the standard. Unfortunately, I can't follow them. Jesus took it to a whole other level. He said it's a heart issue. Therefore, we're not a righteous person. Remember, the law is for not for a righteous person, but for the ones who break the law, okay? However, we're righteous only through Christ Jesus. He says that back in Romans. Our righteousness is not really ours. It's through Christ, and that's how we live, and that's how we are. Okay. Now, I'm paraphrasing this, so because, you know, I don't want to get into, but you're welcome to go and look it up yourself, and I encourage you to. Antinomianism is where it comes in and says, okay, listen, I'm not going to follow the law. I don't have to follow it, period, because I'm automatically saved by grace. Therefore, I'm saved by grace. I'm not under the law. Therefore, I can do anything I want. I can sin all I want. Why? Because the law doesn't condemn me. Can you? Now, that's what some of the people did back then. They were saying, hey, we don't follow the law no more because we're saved by grace. But yeah, here's the interesting thing. Jesus said, I give you a new commandment. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you love me, you keep my commandments. You see the rhetoric in that? You see what Jesus is saying? He's saying, no, listen, you're not saved by the law. However, the law is there to give you a guideline in a way that you need to follow God. It's not a salvation plan. The law is a moral plan and how we should live our life and how we conduct our life. I mean, I guarantee you, every parent out there, the very first thing they're going to do when their child is being disrespected, hey man, you need to honor your mother and father. I'm guilty of that. I've done that with my son. But why? If I don't believe in the law, if I don't believe in anything, therefore I don't have to teach him that. Right? Well, that's what antinomianism is saying. That's exactly what this idea is. And this is when you get into this hyper grace. It's saying, man, I don't need to do anything. You know what? Take the pages of the Bible and throw them across the floor. Or across, because I don't need to follow it. I'm already saved. I already have grace. But no, there's the other side of this. We have to follow the commandments of God. Why? Because of just for our decent morality. He didn't say, don't. He didn't ever said, do not disgrace the law. He just said, you're not saved by the law. Our salvation is through Christ. You see, there's a big difference there. And that is where antinomianism, that's the idea of this. And we see it more and more and more, as in our churches, we see it more and more in different areas and in different groups. Because you're like, you know, I don't need this Bible. I don't need it. It's done. I'm saved by grace, therefore I can do whatever I want. No, you can't. You can't do whatever you want. That's the point. Now, let's take it to the next level of what's really going on with this antinomianism. Okay? Everybody. Okay. So, well, Justin, the law is Old Testament. We don't follow the 412 laws anymore in the Old Testament. Actually, here's the funny thing about that. If you really look into it, after Exodus chapter 20, they go into a commentary of the laws and how we should be able to do it and how we should be able to apply it in our life. That one's free. The 412 laws, the ones we see, are actually ways to help us follow, because God gives us commanded to follow the different things. And then also the other aspect of that, it's also cultural. Now, Christianity is not a culture. We're broken away from the culture anymore because it's not a cultural thing, because it's not necessarily a behavior aspect of it anymore. It's a heart issue. And that's all God was trying to plan up. It all comes down to a heart issue. Satan goes up to Eve and says, hey, did God really say did he say that? He was like, I guess he didn't. It's the heart issue. You see the problem with that. Okay, so let's fast forward to this with the antinomianism. This is where it gets really interesting. Now, we have people saying, oh, no. You know what? No. I don't have to love my brother as I love myself because Jesus commanded it. And then, therefore, if Jesus commanded it, it's another law. It's part of the 140. It's not no longer 114 law in the Old Testament. Now, it's 113 law because Jesus added to the law. Remember, he did. He said, remember, surely, I say to you, but this I say. He adds to this morality code of the guidelines of what we need to do in Christianity. and how we live out our faith. We're not saved by this. No. But see, somebody from Antinomianism will say, no, we don't need to follow this. And they get to the point where they don't even want to follow the red letters in the Bible anymore because they're saying, I don't have to follow any guidelines or anything in Scripture because I'm saved by grace. That is the problem with Antinomianism. So there you have it. So and when you get people in here saying, no, I want to pick and choose within Scripture and I want to be able to do whatever I want to do, well, guess what? You are literally practicing Antinomianism. Anyway, that's it in a nutshell of what it is. I hope that my dear listener, I hope that I answered your question and it is important. And by the way, that is a heresy. Because we're saying we don't follow what Jesus said. We're saved by him. We're saved by grace. Listen, dude. Because we're saved by grace because of the actions of Christ, maybe we need to listen to what he's saying because he's the one who actually did this unmerited favor for us. He did it for us, and he's like, hey, listen, you need to love your brother as you love yourself. You need to do these things because I command you. Now, again, we don't get to pick and choose. We try to follow all of Scripture, and that's why it's important as a Christian life to read your Bible every day because we want to know what God tells us. God speaks to us through his word. Anyway, all right. So again, that's my ramp on that. I hope I answered your question. And JustinJamesShow@gmail.com for any of your questions, comments, and I'll be able to read them or answer them the best of my ability. Thank you again for this time, and have a great week. And remember, happy Father's Day. Love you all.
Justin James.